La lutte antispéciste, c'est la lutte contre toutes les espèces de domination. Libre Radio, la radio qui rompt les rapports de subordination, qui éconduit les chevaillons et qui abat la hiérarchisation. www.libradio.org.
So if during I talk you don't understand, just wave and then we can find it out together. And really do that. It's really okay to do that. Yeah, I'm not disturbed by it at all. Cool. Oh. Oi. Cool. Hello. I'm Alex. My pronoun is also Alex, and I'm newly part of a group called Animal Climate Action. And I will talk a bit about animal liberation and climate justice. Those are two struggles which in both have been involved for a long time, and they're really both very close to my heart. And at the end, I will also tell you about the new Action Alliance that has formed in Germany that is planning a big action and a camp next summer. So I'm going to talk a bit about the group, then about the climate crisis, animal production, and then the end about activism. And then I would really like for us to have discussions, maybe also in small groups, because I think during the whole weekend we heard a lot of like intersectional or total liberation approaches, and I would find it really nice to like have discussions. What does that mean and how can we implement that into our daily life? Because for me, at the end, like being activist, revolutionaries, being active is all about like practical things, because practical things are things that are changing and are real. So I would like for us to have that discussion in the end. So I'm going to tell you just a very little bit about the group. It's a group called ANICA, Animal Climate Action. It exists now 4 years, and it's an anti-capitalist grassroots group of people who came together, who've been mainly came out of the climate justice movement, but some of them also do like animal liberation activism. And the people who are in the group are like from all over Germany, so it's not like a local group. And what they've been done the last couple of years is research and writing articles, like holding lots of workshops at this intersection, for example at climate camps, holding workshops about like the animal industry, and also at the same time holding workshops like I do here, but also in the animal rights movement, because I think, or my impression is, that many people here in an anti-speciesist, like animal liberation context, are more aware of environmental issue. But I think especially in the animal rights and animal welfare circles, people are very unaware. So yeah, both. And then the idea to generally bring like different people together. And there were also some actions against the animal industry, which I will talk about more when I will talk about actions later on. This is just like very short, because I don't think I need to go into detail with you, but this whole idea came up because there was a lot of talk about environmental issues, but only connected to like veganism or consumerism, like in the animal rights and also some parts of the animal liberation movement. And the idea was to like talk about other things. And so basically we believe that animal production is like only a symptom of a destructive system of profit and oppression, and that oppression includes human and non-human animals, capitalism, but also lots of other oppressions like colonialism, patriarchy. It's like a huge list. I'm not going to name everything now. But really like this belief that all of this is interconnected. and that we really like need to also see that in an interconnected way. And also the group has no interest in appealing to governments or focusing on individual consumptions, because we really want like to change the whole system. And one of the ways that we try to do this, it's not the only way, there are also other ways how to like change and tackle the system, is to directly attack the animal industry. But this also means it can be also like alleys or other structures of the animal industry, because also, for example, the state is part of how capitalism works and is like constructed and also like supports the animal industry. So it's not like exclusionary, the animal industry, but this is just like one of the possible targets. So I'm going to talk just shortly about the climate crisis. I'm not going to go into so much detail because I think most people are quite aware of the issues. So, there is a climate crisis, there is global warming, and this has a lot of ecological consequences. So this can mean many things. This means like more weather extremes, biodiversity declines. And one of the problems, and I'm sure you all heard that, is that this is something we really need to act on quickly, because it's climate warming. It's not something which just goes up, but it's like exponential going up. So there are lots of how we understand it today from scientific research is that it will something which will get faster and faster and faster, and we really have very, very little time to tackle the problem. Maybe that's a bit pessimistic. I'm not even certain, maybe it's already too late. I'm not so convinced that we can still change it, but we might as well try. And all of this has a lot of negative consequences, and the negative consequences, and I think this is one of the things which makes this idea of climate crisis difficult and interesting at the same time to connect struggles, is that it has so much impact on so many different things. Like, for example, health, like how we interact with each other, like this whole thing's about like border, and that we see a lot of more nationalism and militarism and all of those kind of things that are being fueled by the climate crisis. Because, for example, there's a lot more problems in the global south due to the climate crisis, that there's not enough water, there are not enough crops. And then again, this is like connected also to capitalism and how the market works. And it's all like really interconnected. Obviously, it's a great threat to human and non-human animals, because we are like on our way to like destroying our existence. It also has a lot of gender issues in it, on who is affected and why, and yeah. And I'm sure I now left out a million of connections, because there are like so many that I find it almost impossible to all tell them. The climate crisis is a really good way to like bring all these different forms of oppression together and to talk about it. Because the whole system, how it is working today, is very destructive to human and non-human animals and to nature. And it also has this really strong aspect of colonialism, because most of the climate crisis was and is created like here where we are living, and has the really strong consequences for like the global south, for example, but for people who have really not been the one like pushing the agenda of like capitalism. Yeah. And we also believe that for this to change, like we need a like total like transformation. I said that before, that we don't really believe in consumerism or like appealing to government, which also means that we need to like fight on many different like fronts. Basically, this is what like the group has been trying to do the last couple of years, to bring different movements together. So I'm going to talk a bit about like animal production and the climate crisis. We always put at the bottom this small print, I'm not sure you can read it, to put the sources of the information. I just would like to say that always with this kind of like scientific research, you can use numbers and data to make many different things. And I think it's always important to like check things back, and that maybe there is no like just one real truth about many of these numbers. But what we're sure of, that that the whole like sector of animal industry is a really like significant contributor to like environmental problems at a global scale. And the figures are like really, there are lots of different figures. For example, I would say about 20% of the global greenhouse gas emissions come out of animal production. That's more than transportation. Then people again in the last couple of years were criticizing this figure and made them more up to like 50%, which has to do how the way this is calculated. For example, if you include like what animals breathe out, how you like deal with lands, and well, maybe different things. First of all, personally, I don't think it's so important. Is it if it's 20 or 50%? It's like very much, and it's a problem. So I don't see the point about fighting if it's 20 or 50%. And on the other hand, I also see, especially in the animal rights movement, this perspective, which I find dangerous, with this idea of if everybody becomes vegan, we are going to like change everything, which is something I don't believe in, and even also the other people in our group don't believe in. We like really need like a systemic change, and we need to end capitalism, and we need to end patriarchy and colonialism and all those things. And then people tend to make these numbers as high as possible because they believe it's more convincing. And I really think this is dangerous because it especially excludes people from the like environmental movement, who like done a lot of research into this kind of things, and then they see these figures and they're like thinking, why are those people communicating this over exaggerated? No, like this like really facts. So I really think this is also not a useful strategy. Also inside of the agriculture sector, a lot of those greenhouse gas emissions come out of the animal industry. And of course, there's also the individual perspective, which I don't want to talk about that much now, but it's also true that it is helpful on a certain level if people do go vegan. So, and with that, there's also this whole question of that we talk a lot about the animal industry, but there's also a general problem of industrial agriculture, which even if it's not animal industry, if it's industrial agriculture, it's a great problem like for how this climate crisis is going on. So this is due to different factors. I'm not sure how you can, if you can see that really well. It's something which is not yet, I think, talked about so often, but this is maybe, one is in English and one is in German, where you can find more information on it. One of the main contributing factors are like, for example, fertilizers. As one example, and also these other things which are also part of animal production, like deforestation. But I really think it is important to also put our whole practice of like industrial agriculture into question, and not fight for a like only a free of animal exploitation agriculture, but we keep at the same point of this industrial agriculture, because this is still not like questioning capitalism, it's still fueling climate crisis, colonialism, like lots of like forms of oppression. And especially in Germany in the last 1.5 years, like there's been lots of groups also taking up that work, and that's something which has started in the whole like climate movement to be a new focus, to only talk, to also talk about critique on industrial agriculture as a whole. So I know I condense a lot, but I try to make it short so I have more time for discussion, because I actually think this is more important, and if you're really interested in the detail, you can just read all the information which is out there. So, direct actions against the animal industry. There's some things which have happened. There was disruption of members' meeting of lobbying organizations. Those were different kinds of lobbying organizations, like organizations which are like collecting like all the farmers, and that's really mostly industrial agriculture, obviously not like small-scale farming, which actually doesn't exist so much in Germany anyhow. But there's also every 2 years a big trade fair, which is called Eurotier. Tier means animal. Takes place every 2 years in Hannover. And last year there were actions, but also 2 years before. It's always so complicated because it's only every 2 years. There were actions, and last year people tried to do, I don't know if you heard of this idea of this climate games, which is like a form of like mainly civil disobedience, that is kind of well known in the environmental movement. And the group tried to adopt this around also animal exploitation, and it worked quite well. Like, a lot of groups were present, there were lots of actions happening. It could have been more, but it was kind of like having this intersection, which was, I think, nice, because there were also other intersections, like things about patriarchy or colonialism that were tackled. Also, if you want to like check out more of what kind of actions took place, most of it is on the website of Annika, where you can check it. And the Eurotier is going to be again this year in November. And there is at the moment talk about maybe not to like make it into this climate game. I think the idea was to use climate game because most people in the environmental movement are already aware with that. And it was kind of a way to get the people into the idea of opposing animal production, which a concept they already know. But in the group, there's also critique of the concept as it is with this like marketing and gamification. But it was just, I think it's good to try out different things to make it maybe more approachable. So it's not sure it's going to be called climate games again, probably not. But people are trying to organize more protest around this Eurotier. And maybe a bit more about the Eurotier. It's really like, it's the biggest European event where people who are into animal production are there. So everything is there, starting from the slaughterhouses to the companies who like make equipment for kill floors to like web companies hosting. Like, it's basically everything there. Like, not only in the context of this group, also lots of other people have been doing it the last couple of years. Lots of blockades in front of slaughterhouses and production units. There were occupation of construction sites, of different construction sites, of like extensions of slaughterhouses, making feeding for animals, lots of different things on different levels. There's also occupation directly of slaughterhouses and stopping the production. And this is now, I'm not talking about action that this group made, so I'm giving a general overview of what has happened the last couple of years in Germany. And many of these tactics or way of doing are much more widely used and recognized in the environmental movement. And I think it's also interesting to look for other places to learn in the positive and in the negative. I'm not personally saying that all of the actions that I showed you, I actually personally would support. But in my understanding, there are different people who have different ideas and do different things. And it would be a waste of energy, because the problem is so great and we have so little time not to take and communicate with others. And I have the impression that especially the animal liberation and anti-species safe movement is a really closed bubble where people have not so many connections to other struggles. And this is something I really wish to change. And I think it's on each individual person and group to decide what kind of tactics they want to use and how they feel comfortable with. Yeah. So I think there's also, especially in Germany, a great tradition of different kinds of mass actions. You probably all heard of them, city street blockades, big occupations of lignite mine, fertilizer farms and slaughterhouses. And then there are also a lot of other things you can do, and maybe I would say should do. Yeah. Now I'm going to talk about this Action Alliance, which is formed in Germany early this summer. So Annika, this group where I was talking before, invited for an Action Alliance meeting for lots of people to come to talk about, for next year, a possibly bigger action activities. The first meeting was in July this summer. About 100 people came. Lots of really worried people came. There were also lots of different people invited, people who are more doing worker struggles, people out of the food, fighting for independent food production, people from the animal rights and animal liberation movement, and people out of the climate justice movement. So it was a really diverse group. I think it was also a bit clear from the beginning that maybe not all of the group will stay when we start to find the consensus of what we wanted to do, but the idea was to keep it quite wide and make these connections. So now an Action Alliance group has started. There was 2 weeks ago the next meeting, and in October there's going to be another one. We're still very much in the middle of the process of finding out together what is important to us and where will we go. What has been decided at the last meeting, there will be a mobilization for next summer for a camp and the action. If people are interested in more detail about that, please come to me after the talk and we can have individual discussions about it. Yes. And what we have chosen as a place or a site is one of the biggest production site of an animal production company and site in Germany. And we also really wanted to not have only this mass mobilization and actions, but also give a possibility for people to join and attack the industry, but also especially this company, also in other places. So it can also be decentralized. So it's not definitely the idea. But we also wanted to create this meeting point where people from the climate justice movement, from the animal liberation movement, people who are fighting for workers' rights can come together and have some kind of exchange about ideas and different tactics. And so far, the only uniting phrase is that it's anti-capitalist, and we're still fighting about the rest. It's also a bit tiresome. Because you really have to imagine it's a really wide group. Maybe some of the cornerstones are insurrectional anarchists and Marxist animal liberation groups. So it's not so easy. Yeah. But the idea of Anika, the group, was maybe we don't need to find an alliance forever. We just need to find an alliance for this one action that we're doing together. And if that is possible, maybe it can also bring something. But at the same time, we're all also always questioning and struggling in that. It's not we're always so sure how that is and will be. So, I already said, I think it's really important also to learn from others' struggles about tactic, knowledge, and also the emotion and social interaction. And to focus on the root causes of a lot of this problem, and that means that we need to have an intersectional approach, and also that we cannot think it in single issue campaigns or really defragmented struggles, because this is not going to change much in our opinion.